Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 10, titled Bhagavatam is the Answer to All Questions. Text number 48. Shavanaka Uvacha Yadahano Bhavan Suta Kshatta Bhagavato Tamaha Chachara Tirthani Bhuvas Tektva Bandhun Sudushtyajan. Shavanaka Uvacha. Sri Shavanaka Muni said, Yet, as, Aha, you said, Naha, unto us, Bhavan, your good self, Suta, O Suta, Kshatta, Vidura, Bhagavata Uttamaha, one of the topmost devotee of the Lord. Chachara, practiced. Tirthani, places of pilgrimage. Bhuvaha, on the earth. Tektva, living aside. Bandhun, all relatives. Sudustyajan, very difficult to give up. Translation. Shavanaka Rishi, after hearing all about the creation, inquired from Suta Goswami about Vidura. For Suta Goswami had previously informed him how Vidura left home, leaving aside all his relatives who were very difficult to leave. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The rishis headed by Shavanaka were more anxious to know about Vidura, who met Maitreya Rishi while traveling to the pilgrimage sites of the world. I'll read the next two verses which are together. Kshatu Kaishavaryastasya Samvidho Dhyatma Samsrutihi Yadvasa Bhagavam sasme prashta tattva anuvachaha bhuvinata didam saumya vidrasya vicheshtidam bandhuntyagan nimittam cha yathaiva gadavan punaha. Shavanaka Rishi said, let us know, please, that topics were discussed between Vidura and Maitreya, who talked on transcendental subjects. And what was inquired by Vidura and replied by Maitreya. Also, please let us know the reason for Vidura's giving up connection of his family members and why he again came home. Please also let us know the activities of Vidura while he was in the places of pilgrimage. Purport. Sri Suta Goswami was narrating the topics of the creation and destruction of the material world, but it appears that the rishis headed by Shavanaka were more inclined to hear of transcendental subjects which are on a higher level than the physical. There are two classes of men, namely those too addicted to gross body and the material world, and others on the higher level who are interested more in transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam gives facility to everyone, both to the materialist and to the transcendentalist. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the Lord's glorious activities, both in the material world and in the transcendental world, men can derive equal benefit. The materialists are more interested in the physical laws and how they are acting, and they see wonders in those physical glamours. Sometimes, due to physical glamours, they forget the glories of the Lord. They should know definitely that physical activities and their wonders are all initiated by the Lord. The rose in the garden gradually takes its shape and color to become beautiful and sweet, not by a blind physical law, although it appears like that. Behind that physical law is the direction of the complete consciousness of the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, things cannot take shape so systematically. The artist draws a picture of a rose very nicely with all attention and artistic sense, and yet it does not become as perfect as the real rose. If that is the real fact, how can we say that the real rose has taken its shape without intelligence behind the beauty. This sort of conclusion is due to a poor fund of knowledge. One must know from the above description of the creation and annihilation that the Supreme Consciousness, being omnipresent, can take care of everything with perfect attention. That is the fact of the omnipresence of the Supreme Lord. Persons still more foolish than the gross materialist, however, claim to be transcendentalist and claim to have such supreme all-pervading consciousness, but offer no proof. Such foolish persons cannot know what is going on behind the next wall, yet they are falsely proud of possessing the cosmic or pervading consciousness of the Supreme Person. For them also, hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam is a great help. It will open their eyes to see that simply by claiming Supreme Consciousness, one does not become supremely conscious. One has to prove in the physical world that he has such supreme consciousness. The rishis of Naimisharanya, however, were above the gross materialists and the false transcendentalists, and they were all anxious to know the real truth in transcendental matters as discussed by authorities. I will read the translation again of the 49 and 50. Shavanaka Rishi said, "Let us know, please, what topics were discussed between Vidura and Maitreya, who talked on transcendental subjects, and what was inquired by Vidura and replied by Maitreya. Also, please let us know the reasons for Vidura's giving up the connection of his family members and why he again came home. Please also let us know the activities of Vidura while he was in the places of pilgrimage." ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोत्सुते. तप्तकाञ्चनगौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. भूदैर्महाद्भिर्ययिमा पुरो विभु निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सोऽलङ्कृषीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे. हरे कृष्ण. The verse 48 has a very short purport. However, the verse in itself makes a very profound point that Vidura left home, leaving aside all his family members. He went on a pilgrimage, searching after the Absolute, even though he is on the highest transcendental platform. Srila Prabhupada makes a very important point in this regard elsewhere in connection to Vidura, that it is very difficult to give up the family attachment. In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada writes, "A renunciant may be attached, even a sannyasi could be attached to petty material things." Srila Prabhupada gives the example that even a sannyasi at some times could be attached to his ashram, to his mutt. But such attachment can easily be shaken and it can be given up very easily. However, when it comes to the attachment to the family, it is very difficult to give up. So here, that's why in regard to Vidura, it is mentioned, Su Dustyajan, very difficult to give up the family attachment. So we can see even pure devotees makes this point. For instance, we can see in the first canto, in the 8th chapter, Kunti Maharani, prays to the Lord, very famous prayers, after she explaining her dependence on the Supreme Lord, she prays, Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu Atha Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishamurte Sokeshime Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu. She calls this affection as Sneha Pasham. Sneha means the intense affection. Pasham means it is like a rope which can bind anyone. Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi. You cut this knot of family attachment. And in her case, all the family members are pure devotees, practically speaking. Imam Pandushu Vrishnishu. My attachments to Pandus as well as Vrishnis, because she is connected to both parties. In that, Srila Prabhupada makes this point that Srimati Kunti Devi is a pure devotee. However, she is acting in the role of a household lady. And so, to exemplify that point, she is begging to the Lord that kindly remove this attachment from my heart. Interestingly, there is a reason for her difficulty. Because this is the point in which the Supreme Lord is about to leave Hastinapur. And if she leaves Hastinapur, that will cause so much of lamentation for the Pandus. And if she stays back, if he stays back in Hastinapur, that will cause a lot of lamentation for the Vrishnis. So in that way, she was in this dilemma. What could she do in this situation? What could be done in this situation? Because if the Lord leaves or if he doesn't leave, because of her attachment, she would feel misery. So Srila Prabhupada writes, she is taking the liberty to pray to the Lord to remove this attachment. And further in that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that how great devotees all have rejected this family attachment for a higher cause. Prabhupada gives the example of 6 Goswamis. Tektva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapatim Shrenim Sadat Uchavat. They left the high positions. Why? Because Karunaya, out of compassion. Kaupina Kanthashrito. So they accepted the Kantimala and a loin cloth for the benefit of the wider world. So Prabhupada makes this point that a great devotee leaves all this attachment for a higher reason, which is to accept the whole world as one's own family. So it is mentioned, Vasudeva Kudumbakam. Vasudha means the earth. Vasudha Eva Kudumbakam. So one makes the earth in itself as one's family. We can see the example of Srila Prabhupada himself. Because after taking sannyas and after having so many disciples, Srila Prabhupada said, I gave up my smaller family. I had few sons and a small family. I gave up my family and I have accepted a much bigger family. And you are my sons and daughters. So Srila Prabhupada left his family for a higher purpose, to accept the world as the family, Vasudeva Kudumbakam. Same example can be given even in case of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Karabhajana Bhuni in the 11th canto speaks to King Nimi in this regard. The same word is actually used in the 11th canto. Tektva, the word here used is Sudustyajan means very difficult to give up. So Karabhajana Muni says, Tektva su dustejya surepsida surajya lakshmi dharmishta eva ഗതാ അരണ്യം മായാമൃഗം ദൈതേപ്സിതം അന്യധാമൻ വന്ദേ മഹാപുരുഷത്തെ ചരണാരവിന്ദം. ഹി സേസ് ദ ലോർഡ് ശ്രീ ചൈതന്യ മഹാപ്രഭു ഹി ഗേവ് അപ് ലക്ഷ്മി ഹെർസെൽഫ് ബിക്കോസ് ഈവൻ ദ സുരേപ്സിത ഈവൻ ദ ഡെമി ഗോഡ്സ് ലോങ് ഫോർ ലക്ഷ്മി ദേവി ബിക്കോസ് എവരി വൺ വോണ്ട്സ് ഗുഡ് ഫോർച്യൂൺ. So not only demigods, even human beings long for good fortune. But in case of Lakshmi Devi, even the Surepsida, even the demigods, they desire to have the presence of Lakshmi Devi in terms of opulence. So the Supreme Lord, he gave up, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave up even Lakshmi Devi and he accepted sannyas. So it is mentioned that it is because there are a couple of reasons. One reason is, it's a lower reason, is that Mahaprabhu got cursed by Brahmanas. Why? Because Mahaprabhu was performing pastimes of nocturnal kirtans in Nadia and he never allowed any unqualified people to enter into his intimate pastimes. So they locked the door of Shiva's Thakur. And some Brahmanas got very upset with these activities. And they actually cursed the Supreme Lord. How they cursed? They actually took the Brahmin thread and they broke the Brahmin thread and they cursed. And what was the curse? He will never be able to enjoy material life. His material life is finished. So when Mahaprabhu heard this, he became so happy. Because now he doesn't have to enjoy materially because something higher is waiting for him. So eventually at the age of 24, Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he started preaching. So that is a higher reason. This is a lower reason that he got cursed as the sake of pastime. But Mahaprabhu took sannyas for the benefit of others. That's why it is mentioned, Karunaya avatirna kalo samarpayidu munyado jalarasam sabhakti shriyam. That Mahaprabhu Karunaya avatirna kalo, he came to distribute the highest to the lowest people. So that is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna consciousness is the highest. But it is awarded to the lowest of the men. That is the people in the age of Kali who are unqualified. There is a reason behind that. Because God consciousness is available in all yugas. And in different parts of the world, in different shapes and forms, it's not that God consciousness is not available. Even within the Vedic realm, God consciousness was available before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that just by Vaidhi Bhakti, the regulative devotional service, one can maximum attain the transcendental abode of Narayan. One cannot attain the abode of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So to give that, and that also to give in its highest capacity, that's why it is mentioned, Unnata Ujjala Rasam. Unnata means the highest. Ujjala Rasam means the conjugal love. So to give the highest, the Lord came. Because otherwise it is impossible for one to go to the Golok Vrindavan. So that is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to make that available to all, he accepted sannyas and he rejected his family. And here, Vidura, he is doing the same thing. Vidura was in a peculiar situation because his relatives were wicked. They were crooked. Men like Duryodhan, Dushasan, etc., all the Kauravas. And at the same time, his wife was a pure devotee. Vidura's wife was a pure devotee. We know the pastime where she offered banana peel to the Supreme Lord and the Lord accepted and he relished. But now Vidura is going to leave everything aside and he's going to leave the palace. So there, the immediate incident, the immediate cause was that Duryodhan ridiculed Vidura saying that you are Dasi Putra. You are just son of a maid servant. So when he heard that Vidura took this opportunity, he could see two energies of the Lord acting simultaneously. One was the Yogamaya Shakti of the Lord and other side was the Mahamaya Shakti of the Lord. The internal and external energy of the Lord was acting simultaneously at that point, and then Vidura, being a pure devotee, took shelter of the internal potency of the Lord, the Yoga Maya Shakti of the Lord, and he understood, this is the strong indication that I must leave this association of Kauravas and I should go on pilgrimage, searching for the Absolute. There Srila Prabhupada makes a very wonderful point that he knew that Krishna was there in the planet, but still he didn't go searching for Krishna directly. Rather, he took the Vedic system of accepting Vanaprastha and Sannyas. So he went on a pilgrimage. Again, and another important point is that one who leaves the family in this way has to be very careful and qualified. Because of family problems, one can say, I want to just leave the family. I have heard many people saying like this. Prabhu, this is enough. I just want to, maybe a very neophyte, he'll say, you know, I just want to leave the family. Can I join the temple? Really? Married, married for some time and coming and asking, you know, Prabhu, how can I join the temple? I want to leave my family aside. You know, why do you want to join the temple? Oh, so much of problems. So much of trouble. So much of fight. Okay, fine. So Srila Prabhupada makes this very important point that the family problems can be an impetus to take to renunciation. But that is insufficient to sustain renunciation. So to sustain renunciation, one has to develop attachment to the lotus feet of the Lord. So that is the only way one can remain in the renounced position. Unless and until one has to go back to grihastha life. As it is said, one can accept sannyas at the age of 25 and one can get married at the age of 50. Kaliga, it happens. That is topsy-turvy. You know, when in 25, usually it's the other way around. 25, people get married, and 50, they take sannyas. That is the Vedic system. But Kaliga, it goes other way around, because it can be because of attachment. So that's why it is mentioned one has to be qualified. And Vidura exemplifies that point, because he's a pure devotee, and he's following the Vedic system. At the right point, he leaves the whole family, and then he goes after Krishna, not directly, but through the parampara, through the authorities. So that's why he meets with Maitreya Muni. And then he receives instructions from Maitreya. So in the next verse it is asked, you know, what are their activities, etc. Now, Srila Prabhupada makes a very interesting point in the next verses, that is 49 and 50, that Srimad Bhagavatam has two kinds of audiences. Two kinds. For example, there are so many books available for dummies, right? For dummies books. For, you know, if you pick, you know, parenting for dummies, internet for dummies, programming for dummies, Java for dummies, maybe accounting for dummies. So there are, this series is there, for dummies series, for anything and everything. So that is meant for those who are all very neophyte. They don't know anything about the subject. For them, this dummy series is available, or primer. So many primers are there for different subjects. At the same time, there are different books which are for the advanced audience, technically. So many books are there. But Srimad Bhagavatam caters for both categories simultaneously. So that is the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. One could be a materialist, one could be a neophyte, one could be a mediocre devotee, or one could be advanced devotee, or one could be super advanced devotee, one could be a pure devotee in love of Godhead. All can approach Srimad Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam can reciprocate to all. How? Srimad Bhagavatam is a person. Bhagavatam can reciprocate because Srimad Bhagavatam is known different from Krishna. Krishna sama sadhama upagate dharma gyanatri saha kalo nashtadrasya esha puranarko adhunotitaha. So this is a literary incarnation of Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam can reciprocate to all. So in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami prays to Shukadev Goswami, glorifying Shuka, saying, Yasyanubhavam akhila shruti sarameham adhyatma deepam adititirshatam tamondham samsarinam karunayaha pirana guhyam Yam Vyasa Sunu Mupayami Guru Muninam. Suta Goswami glorifies Shukadeva Goswami that Yasyanubhavam. Because with his experience, with his realization, Shukadev Goswami is bringing this Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the Srimad Bhagavatam? This is Yasyanubhavam Akhila Shruti Saramekam. If you consider all the Vedic literature, that is Akhila Shruti, all the Shrutis, consider all the Vedic literature and its sar, its essence. And that is Adhyatma Deepam. That is the lamp of transcendental knowledge. Aditi Tirshitam Tamondham. And this knowledge is awarded to Aditi Tirshitam Tamondham, one who is blinded by material ignorance. So this is one of the clientele of Srimad Bhagavatam. One who is blinded by material ignorance. Samsarinam. And those people are known as materialist or samsari. So samsarinam karunaya aha. Shukadev Goswami aha. He spoke because karunaya, because of compassion. Tam vyasa sunum upayami guru muninam. He is the guru of all the sages. Because he is presenting the essence of all the Vedic literature for the lowest of men. That is samsari. That is one who is blinded by material ignorance. So this is one of the audience of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we are qualified. That's why we came in touch with Srimad Bhagavatam. We are qualified to approach Srimad Bhagavatam. Sanatan Goswami, at the end of Krishna Lilastava, glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Asadhu sadhuda dain. One can be asadhu. Sadhu means a saintly person. But asadhu, asadhu means one who is not saintly. So asadhu sadhuda dain. Srimad Bhagavatam has the capacity to make one who is a asadhu to a sadhu. Adi nicho taraka taraka. He can adi nicha. From a one lowest platform, Srimad Bhagavatam can elevate one to the highest platform. Hama munchakadajin premna hrit kanthayospura. Kindly that Bhagavatam came out from my throat and my mouth out of love. So that is a prayer of Sanatan Goswami to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's showing the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the philosophy of Bhagavatam, when it is presented nicely by the realized devotees, it can shake the materialistic conception of life. Because it gives us the reality. One devotee was mentioning, he gave a lecture based on the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, into assembly, and it was about the forest of material enjoyment in the fifth canto. Very powerful chapter, right? The forest of material enjoyment. And they have heard, the audience had heard many professional reciters before, but had never heard from a devotee. And think about this chapter, the forest of material enjoyment. Very beautifully presents how a materialistic person gets engrossed, entrapped in the material energy. And even though he wants to come back to the right senses, it is impossible because the entrapment is more and more. And gives a very vivid example to this. You know, a person going after wealth into the forest and, you know, going further and being attacked by the animals, you know, still he is searching after, etc. It gives a very vivid example. And Srila Prabhupada, in the purports, makes it real to us, because this is the very nature of material pursuit. So this devotee, he presented based on Srila Prabhupada's commentary. And he was telling the whole audience, they were shaken. Because they had never heard such a thing from anyone. Even though they had heard Srimad Bhagavatam so many times. So this is the potency of Srimad Bhagavatam. That it can detach one from material attachment. When it is presented correctly. So Srila Prabhupada is presenting correctly. And when we present it following in footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, then it has an impact in the heart of ourselves and that of the listeners. Okay, so that is one aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't stop there. It is Paramahamsyam. It is meant for Paramahamsas. Srila Prabhupada here again talks about the activities of the Supreme Lord. Both in the material world and the spiritual world are both equally valid and equally powerful. Kunti Devi makes this point. Tatha paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidanartham katham pashyamahi striha. She makes, actually, the appearance of the Lord is meant for Paramahamsas. Of course, the Lord's appearance is also meant for the lowest of the men. But she makes the point in her humility, showing, presenting herself as the lowest, that Yattatha Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam. That is, for Paramahamsas and the great sages and those who have purified their hearts, Amalatmana, for them to teach, to give, to explain the process of Bhakti Yoga, the Lord has appeared. So Srimad Bhagavatam also has that purpose, that it can give transcendental bliss to pure devotees. In fact, we know the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit in Chota Gopinath Mandir, he used to recite Srimad Bhagavatam, and he was an expert in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Even other devotees were also very experts in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, like Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. He was very famous in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam in different tunes. He could beautifully sing Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, Gadadhar Pandit would read Srimad Bhagavatam, and when he reads Srimad Bhagavatam, tears would flow from his eyes and it would wet the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And after some time, they had to discard one Srimad Bhagavatam because it was not useful anymore, because it was completely soaked in the tears of Gadadhar Pandit. And when Gadadhar Pandit would read Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to relish more and more. And he would also cry. So this was a crying scene in the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is the relishing Srimad Bhagavatam on the highest capacity, on the highest level. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives this for both these extremes, one who is materialistic and also one who is a Paramahamsa. However, we are in between. We have material tendencies, of course, but we are not pure. So for us also, Srimad Bhagavatam is equally applicable. So our position is that we have to read and see how we can use in our daily life. We have to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, relish Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to relish Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to develop taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. It is given the example of a calf. A calf runs around here, there, but when a calf sees his mother, he goes towards the mother. In the same way, devotees, we do different activities, but when we get a time, we have to go to Srimad Bhagavatam. And we had to absorb in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we had to try and develop this habit. That is, okay, I have some extra time, then what is Srimad Bhagavatam telling? Natural tendency is to just prajalpa. That is a natural tendency of the mind. Just talk something nonsense to our friends and waste time. Yeah, we need to have decent talks, of course. But we need to approach. We had to develop that anxiousness to see Srimad Bhagavatam. What is there in Srimad Bhagavatam? So that will develop, you know, that will flourish our consciousness. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our life. So on an advanced level, Sanatana Goswami says, Prema Aksharayata, he says, okay, each and every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with love of Godhead. Each akshara is filled with prema. So that is the higher platform of Srimad Bhagavatam. And for the sages, already some Srishti Leela was described by Shukadev Goswami, and they wanted to hear something more on the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So in the third canto beginning, we can hear two chapters summarizing Krishna's pastimes within Vrindavan and outside of Vrindavan. And further, it explains Srishti, creation in detail. Because there is a reason why Srishti is explained further in detail, because Vidura was very sensitive to Maitreya Muni, because the Lord had just left the planet. And Maitreya Muni, he was witness to that. He was there, just heard everything from the Lord. So he got the final association of the Lord. And Maitreya Muni was thinking about the Lord. And Vidura didn't want to ask about the Lord straight away. Why? Because if he asked more about the Lord, Maitreya Muni, he will feel so much of separation from the Lord. So to distract from that point, he asked, Vidura asked about the creation. So then there is a whole description of creation in the third canto. And we can say the sages want to hear that. Then finally, Srila Prabhupada in the next part of the purport explains that, see the beauty of this world. And how could one say that everything happened by chance? So when Srila Prabhupada was speaking about the evolution, about the Darwinian evolution, he asked a very interesting question. He asked, you see a peacock. Peacock has beautiful feathers. And how can the theory of evolution describe this beautiful feather of a peacock if the theory is based on survival of the fittest? Think about it. If the survival of the fittest is the basis of evolution, then why a peacock needs such a beautiful feathers? Is it going to help in any way? No, even if you can see the rose is so beautiful. So to survive, for the rose to survive, does it need that particular color for the flower? So it's a very logical question. So there is no answer to it. So one sense, if you think the aesthetics as such, it doesn't fit in to Darwinian evolution. That doesn't even fit in to the framework of science, what to speak about the evolution in itself. And if there is aesthetics, it is a symptom of intelligence. If there is an appreciation of the beauty, if there is a creation of the beauty, that means that there is an intelligence behind. Otherwise, there cannot be. So Srila Prabhupada makes this point that we have the whole beautiful world and everything is systematically working, and then how can one claim that there is no intelligence behind? There has to be an intelligence, and that is the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada says this is because of poor fund of knowledge. And after that, Prabhupada goes on to the next level. That is, even worse is the situation of people who claim that we have all-pervading consciousness. Srila Prabhupada is pointing out to the so-called transcendentalists who says, oh, we become God after liberation. Or we become one with the Supreme Consciousness, and that we can understand everything about everything. So this is, Prabhupada says, this is worse than materialistic people. It is worse than atheistic people. Because they claim that they are spiritualists, and they say that after liberation, one can know everything. One becomes omnipotent, one is omnipresent, you know, all cognizant. How is it possible? So it is illogical. One can never become the Supreme Consciousness. Because as Prabhupada says, God is already God. No one can become God. There is not such thing as becoming God. Because God, that position is already been taken care of. What can we do? Now we can only be servants of the Lord. So that is the highest knowledge. Highest knowledge is understanding that we are servants of the Lord and serving the Lord. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Everyone seems to be satisfied.
So what is renunciation?
What is renunciation? Okay. I'll explain the renunciation in two levels. One is practical renunciation, and second, renunciation within the heart. So, first one is not recommended for everyone, whereas the second one is recommended for everyone. The first one is practical renunciation. Practical renunciation means practically giving up family, job, positions, wealth, etc., and accepting the renounced orders of life, like brahmacharya, maybe vanapras, sannyas. This is practical renunciation. Okay, one is not meant to have any wealth or any possession. So this is practical renunciation. But this practical renunciation is not recommended for all. One has to be careful if one is going for such ashrams. One has to take proper guidance and one has to qualify. However, there is renunciation within the heart. So this is given in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So renunciation within the heart is giving up the attachment for the activities and the attachment for the results of the activities. So this is recommended for all. One could be in a family situation, but still one can be renounced in the heart. That is, one is not still attached to the result of the activity, which could be in the form of wealth. So how one can prove that one is not attached to the wealth? The proof is that how it is being used. If you say, I am very much detached, I have no attachment for money, and all the money comes, all the money is going into only family maintenance, then that is just lip service or just a feeling that I am completely detached. And the whole money is going for one's own personal care. However, the real detachment is in which all the wealth, all the facilities are used in service of the Lord. So first, making one's own family a family of devotees and taking care of them. And being the house centered around Krishna, and giving and supporting the preaching movement by giving donation to the temple. So in that way one can prove, okay, I am detached in the heart. So this is the renunciation within the heart, which is recommended for all. Everyone has to aspire for that, one has to improve for that. Whereas practical renunciation is concerned, that may not be for all and requires guidance. Is that clear? Thank you. Who is Shavanaka Rishi? Shavanaka Rishi is the head of the sages in Naimisharanya who asked all the questions to Suta Goswami. And Suta Goswami is answering all the questions of sages headed by Shavanaka Rishi. And Suta Goswami is answering all these questions based on what he had heard from Shukadeva Goswami. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Granthrat Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki.